these two parties, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, have had their chance. And they've blown it.
Oh, come, nobody ever reads manifestos during the election, Sean, you know that.
But they've taken our policies.
Such a collection of chanters and charlatans.
It can't be like, here, vote for me, bye.
Yeah, I shall be the Taoiseach now, hope.
This is Election Daily, the series from the Inside Politics podcast team at the Irish Times. I am Hugh Linehan. It's just around 2 p.m. on Sunday afternoon and we're about 5 hours into the general election count. First counts are expected to start coming through in about an hour's time or so, but all the tallies indicate that last night's exit poll showing a three-way tie between the three big parties was pretty accurate. With me in studio is Harry McGee. On the line is Jennifer Bray down at the Dublin Count Centre in the RDS. Jennifer, what's it been like down there for the last while?
Well, yes, indeed. Hello from the heart of democracy, we'll put it that way. It's kind of weird sort of atmosphere at the moment. Sort of biblical rain has started pouring down outside and some of it is coming in through the roof. But it's strange. Like, I covered 2011 and the 2016 general elections. And I have to say the atmosphere in here today is just completely different. There's a lot of kind of uncertainty, a little bit of disbelief. That sort of manic, delighted energy that usually emerges after the tallies is contained really in one camp and one camp only, and that's Sinn Féin. And it emerged very early on. So two of the counts which I'm keeping a particular eye on is Dublin Northwest and Dublin Central. And from very early in Dublin Northwest, when the first boxes started opening and the tally men were going through the numbers, Desi Ellis straight out well ahead of the pack. He will top the poll if those tallies are correct. And the figures are incredible. He's looked set to take 44% of that vote. And we saw kind of this immediate reaction in the RDS when he was walking around and he was mobbed by supporters. And next of all, they broke out into a rendition of Come Out, You Black and Tans. Photographers swarmed around, journalists, and to record it. And then one of his members of staff pulled him aside and took him into a corridor, and I followed over, of course, and stuck my nose in. And she was basically berating him and saying, you know, you can't be doing that. You're going to be, you know, you're an elected representative. She was basically saying there's a sense of decorum that's needed. And obviously that song has been controversial over the course of the election campaign. So this very kind of manic energy in the Sinn Féin camp, and then it went very, very quiet, and then Angus O'Snodgh arrived. Obviously, he's got a top of the poll as well, by all accounts, and he was mobbed too. And the Sinn Féin kind of advisors and a lot of the Sinn Féin staff and a lot of the political team support going around looking delighted, a tiny bit confused as they see all of the tallies rolling in from across the country. And one of them said to me, you know, I did not expect this. I did not expect it. And how the hell are we going to form a government?
We should point out that Come Out Your Black and Tans is actually a satire and a spoof on Irish republicanism, but maybe that's a subject for another day. Harry, it'll be a while before we get the global overall total of vote share of the parties with all the first counts in, but all the indications are that our exit poll last night was pretty bang on.
It is, just in terms of the percentage tally, but what we probably didn't anticipate was that Sinn Féin... I mean, the difficulty that Sinn Féin has is that it didn't run enough candidates. And I was writing a piece last night in which I was making a comparison between this election and the spring tide in 1992, where Labour had a 10% increase in first preferences. They didn't anticipate it. They didn't run enough candidates. So the seat return they had fell far less of what they could have expected. It's the same for Sinn Féin. Sinn Féin could have won more seats.
How many? Could they have won? How many more?
At least another six seats. If you look at Desi Ellis in Dublin Northwest, he got 47% of the vote. I know in a three-seater, the quota is 25%, but Sinn Féin would have been within a stone's throw of a second seat there. Dublin South Central, Angus O'Snodgh sat. He's sitting on nearly two quotas there. Dublin Central, where the party leader, Mary Lou MacDonald, got 36% of the vote. That is Bertie territory. And we remember that Bertie Ahern took Cyprian Brady in when Cyprian Brady only had 900 votes. Look at David Cullinan in Waterford, who has 40% of the vote. He personally has almost two quotas. They could have got a second seat there. And you can go through the constituencies, Dublin South West, you can even Dublin Bay North. Now, the tallies aren't complete there, but in Dublin Bay North, they might have had a bit of a chance of taking in two as well. So my calculation at the moment has Sinn Féin on 36 seats, which is an increase of 14%. And that's not taking into account the constituencies of Clare and Limerick County, where Sinn Féin has biddable chances of getting seats. But you look at where it's going to make gains, places that nobody had anticipated.
Tipperary.
We had a failed council election. They had difficulties over selection there. They had difficulties in relation to bullying. We have Roscommon Galway, where Claire Curran has come out of nowhere and looks like she's going to jostle Fianna Fáil out of the third seat. In Longford West Meath, Sirica Clarke is topping the poll for them. Both Kildare constituencies as well, they look like they're going to get seats, and they're going to win their first seat in Mayo and Galway West, but they were kind of more expected since the 1930s.
Just in terms of the many consequences of that huge change, Jen, particularly in Dublin, it seems to me that these massive Sinn Féin surpluses are going to decide the last seats in a number of constituencies and probably very often benefit the parties of the left, the PBP and Solidarity, and get them over the line.
Yes, indeed. And that's why the constituency of Dublin Central will be so interesting. So, like Harry said there, Mary Lou MacDonald on course for 36% of first preference votes. Now, she is in first place. Now, this, I stress, is on the tallies. In behind her is Pascal Donoghue. Just in behind him, Nasa Hurrigan. Just in behind her, then a tie between Mary Fitzpatrick and Gary Gannon for the last seat. But that's not how it's going to play out, because obviously Mary Lou MacDonald's transfers, where did they go? Now, watching them, and they go all over the place, okay, but they do seem to really, really favour Christy Burke. So could that bring him in, you know, could that push him back into the race? And then, of course, it will obviously go towards left candidates. So you're looking at maybe Gary Gannon taking a closer step towards getting a seat. And I think for certain, what we might see is that a Mary Lou MacDonald transferring strongly to Nasa Hurrigan in the Green Party, so you'll maybe see her take the second seat. And then after that, it's a scrap as to where all those votes go. And I, at this stage, I think where it will end up is that Pascal Donoghue will actually be fighting it out for the fourth and last seat.
Wow, really? Okay, well, that will be really, really, really interesting to see. Listen, can I ask you about something else? I mean, as Harry says, Sinn Féin have left about six seats on the table. Several of those are in Dublin. But if they had won those six seats, Sinn Féin, just looking at the numbers that people are floating around right now, with Fianna Fáil in the very low 40s, Fine Gael in the very high 30s, and Sinn Féin around 36, 37, Sinn Féin could have been the biggest party in the new Dáil if they had taken those six seats, and Fianna Fáil could have been back in second or even in third.
Yeah, exactly. It's an extraordinary position that we find ourselves in. I don't think anybody would deny that. And where we'll end up with the numbers, look, it really is early days, but it is not looking good for Fianna Fáil. And you'd have to wonder about when that conversation starts around Micheál Martin. Like I said, very, very early to be getting into stuff like that. But the figures are astounding. Obviously, they didn't run enough candidates. They're going to be kicking themselves that they didn't, because if they had of, not only would they be talking about being part of the conversation, they would have been talking about being part of a government. But if you look at where they all are, and this is what was reflected in our exit poll, it's just a really, really difficult to see who forms a government or how it's formed without somebody going back on or breaking one of their pre-election promises, whether that be Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael promising that they wouldn't go into a grand coalition, or whether that be Fianna Fáil and Sinn Féin, which I feel is the more likely outcome, saying that they would work together.
Harry, let me ask you about Fianna Fáil. There's seats across Dublin that they may just about win. McAuliffe, who was supposed to be a complete gimme in Dublin North West, but he's fighting still for that last seat.
I think he'll win that last seat.
Catherine Arda in South Central.
Yeah, I haven't given her the seat. I mean, they had five kind of gains, possible gains, where they didn't have any seats. And at present, I'm looking at a situation, Mary Fitzpatrick in Dublin Central, I don't think she's going to win that seat. Dublin Rathdown, Shay Brennan, I think he's out of the reckoning there. I think Fine Gael will win two there. Dublin South Central, Catherine Arda, maybe squeezed out by Angus and Snuddy's huge surplus, which will favour more left-wing candidates. And in Dunleary, where they again ran a two-candidate strategy, I think it's iffy as to whether they will get the last seat there. I think Fine Gael might just hold on to the last seat there. So overall, I mean, the Fianna Fáil early today looked like they might get high 40s. parties. As the day has continued, that number has slipped. At the moment, I'm giving them 44 or 45 seats. Fine Gael, I have them at 37 at the moment, and they could slip one or two seats as well. I mean, already Meath East, Regina Doherty looks like she's gone. In Meath West, Damien English is in a bit of trouble because Sinn Féin have done so well, and Pather Tobin looks like he's going to hold. Fianna Fáil could be in trouble there as well. Roscommon, Galway, you have this phenomenon where you don't have a Fianna Fáil or a Fine Gael representation if Clare Curran comes through. Sligo Leitrim, there was a time where Fine Gael held two out of the four. Now they look like they could end up with zero. And Tipperary, they had zero in Tipperary, they could end up with zero again.
Jen, are there people from Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael on the ground out there as you speak? Have you been talking to them to get any sense of what kind of mood they're in?
There's a real dearth of Fianna Fáilers around, I'll tell you that much. Of the Fine Gaelers, I've seen not very many either. I saw Richard Bruton, had a quick chat with him. His assessment was that the Fine Gael will still be in a pole position to lead government formation talks from next week onwards, or whenever those talks start. And Noel Rock obviously is here looking quite despondent, I must say, even though he actually closed the gap quite well and unexpectedly when the final tallies came in. I'd be shocked if he got a seat, but I wouldn't completely rule it out. But yeah, it's still quite quiet down here. I mean, we don't expect the first counts for maybe an hour or so, and I think after that is when you'll see maybe some more of the Fine Gaelers and Fianna Fáilers arriving. Mary Lou was supposed to be here at 2 o'clock, and then it was pushed out to 3. I mean, you want to see the setup for Mary Lou McDonald. I've never seen anything like it.
So
it's like walking into like a boxing ring or something with everybody, all the journalists and photographers lined up on either side. This really long corridor of media. It's just phenomenal, and it reminded me of the day before the end of the campaign when she went out canvassing on Moore Street, and the amount of media and the reception that she got was incredible. And you just really do get this sense that the momentum was with her and that she is the story of the day, and that she must be on one hand delighted and on the other hand raging, you know.
Harry, just briefly, the small parties as well, or the smaller parties, the ones that aren't in what we now call the big three. The Greens probably will be coming in maybe at the lower end of their expectations. The Soc Dems look like they could have a fairly good day. The Labour, it's looking pretty grim.
Yeah, Labour Party, I think, will be lucky to come back with five or six seats. Jan O'Sullivan is in a battle in Limerick. Joan Burton is gone in Dublin West. Soc Dems have had a very good day. They are in contention in Wicklow. I think they'll take a seat in Wicklow. There's Kildare North, where Catherine Murphy, Dublin North West, Roisin Shortall, their existing TDs. I think Gary Gannon can take a seat for them in Dublin Central. And I think Kian O'Callaghan has a very good chance in Dublin Bay North.
Did O'Callaghan benefit from the fact that Healy the Green was opposed to the repeal of the Eighth Amendment?
I think that was a factor, and it was certainly a talking point towards the latter part of the campaign. Fianna Fáil had a very poor election in Dublin, and I think the Fine Gael rearguard campaign in the last couple of days of the campaign, where they kind of scared the bejesus out of voters in relation to the prospect of a Fianna Fáil Sinn Féin coalition, I think had some impact and recovered them some ground. Jen was talking about Noel Rock in Dublin North West there, where he did better than people had anticipated. I think Lisa Chambers, a very high profile Fianna Fáil TD in Mayo, is in danger. Fianna Fáil benefited from Sinn Féin transfers back in 2016, but obviously Rose Conway Walsh is going to top the poll there, so I think she might be a high profile casualty for Fianna Fáil. I think Solidarity People Before Profit will probably come back with three or four, and I think they will benefit from Sinn Féin transfers
in Dublin West and Dublin South West and places like that.
I can't see them beating the Greens in Dublin West, but Dublin South West, Paul Murphy, and in Dublin South Central particularly, Breed Smith will get back. I think Mick Barry will probably make it for them in Cork North Central, and Richard Boyd Barrett will be comfortably elected in Dúnéire. He's probably going to top the poll there. Other 17 I've done for independents. The demise of Danny Healy-Ray has been much exaggerated, but there's a couple of new people who have come into the frame. Matt Shanahan in Waterford looks like he's going to take
a hospital candidate.
We have Michael McNamara, who's showing very strongly in Clare,
former Labour Party TD.
And of course Marion Harkin might knock out any Fine Gael TD in Sligo Leitrim. It looks like two Fianna Fáil, Martin Kenny from Sinn Féin and Marion Harkin in Sligo Leitrim.
Jen, how long do you anticipate you're going to be down there today or tonight?
probably for the rest of my life. I don't know. I'm only kidding. I'm half kidding. I don't know. There is a sense that it could go on quite late and possibly into the coming days, which is fine for us because we have plenty to talk about, plenty to write about, but probably not great for the candidates. So honestly, I don't know. Can I just say as well, two things that just two results that really caught my eye before we go.
Sure.
Sinn Féin in Donegal and Sinn Féin in Dublin Midwest. Two seats, Donegal likely, two seats, Dublin Midwest, Owen O'Brien and Mark Ward. I think that that for Owen O'Brien is a ringing endorsement of the work that he has done and of his standout role in the campaign. I think it's something that will really be examined after the dust has settled, and you would have to, you'd have to see him now at the very, very, very front of that party, right up beside Mary Lou McDonald. And I think it's a real, it's incredible, actually.
It's changed times, definitely. Listen, we're going to leave it there for the moment anyway. Thanks very much to Harry and to Jen for joining us. Thanks to our producer, Declan Conlon. Our live coverage of the election results will continue throughout the rest of this day and indeed tomorrow and for as long as necessary. Indeed, I'm going to be jumping over to the live blog desk for the next few hours, which I always love doing. So you can contact me there if you're interested. And new episodes of this podcast will also show up in your feed. And if you like what we do, you might consider going to irishtimes.com/subscribe, where you can get access to all our digital journals for a price of just €1 for the first month. And if we are not in your feed already, you can subscribe in all the usual places. You can also find us at irishtimes.com/podcasts. Your views are extremely welcome. You can mail us at politicspodcasts@irishtimes.com. You can track us down on Twitter. Until the next time, thanks for listening.